everybody. At all these points this week, I suppose, and I think one of the supports for Ms. Barry is very relevant to the present day, and for our country, for the sovereignty. The country is in a terrible state. We must act fast before it's too late. We must stand together in solidarity and not accept all the austerity. The European Union know we are not alone to blame. There were European speculators included in the fray. So we must prevent the EU from taking a grip that they will not be able to crack their whip. To show the world that we are a proud nation which fight tooth and nail against European domination. So I am calling on people to keep the flame burning brightly and to do their endeavour to protect our sovereignty. Now, the second one is very relevant to this week too, because as far as I'm concerned, your dignity and one's dignity is very important to oneself, and I hope that I hear that on my life, for my dignity, okay? But I also would say that, just for the womankind, that when James Connolly wrote out, was the author of the proclamation, and he, when he printed the proclamation, he said to the other six signatories that, as far as he was concerned, that he was going to give recognition to the women that would be fighting with the common man. And he insisted by saying the following, that Irish men and Irish women will strike for their freedom. So this poem is, we'll say now, for I dedicate this to Manana here, okay? Theresa Tracy is one lady to admire. She made a stand and went to prison to protect her land. She refused their grid access to her estate by placing a lock on her property's gate. To erect pylons that carry her cables over ground, for health and safety, she wants them underground. I court judge said if she did not relent, he would commit her to prison until she purged her contempt. Her reply to him was, she will not desist, but will continue on principle and resist. On her release, she still refused to change her stand and not consent to Airbrid erecting pylons on her land. Thank you. One more word.
It's a very welcome return to O'Vill for now. Hilarious. It's been too long, guys.
Oh, yeah. Here's another rabble-rousing one. It's been a great power brigade. World Cup blues and other disasters. Rugby World Cup blues and other disasters. This is the worst day in Irish history, said Cork's George Hook last Saturday on the telly. No, George, that would be in Black 48, or maybe the day when each one of us could truly say, I am effed. An old joke, I know you've heard it before. Oh, Mother Ireland, please, please, you're being screwed, get up off your knees. Break away from this pimping policy. Say toodaloo to the rapist ECB. And not IMF. The bailout is for our thieving banks, a complete bunch of financial wanks. It's so that the EU gamblers can try to regain those euros they poured in like the wet Cork rain. Let's stop saying IMF'd. Let's say that we can be our own bosses. Row back while we can, cut our losses. Good food is something that will always be required. And all kinds of energy, not nuke. Let's get this place fully wired. Thanks for the loan, boys, but no thanks. We can do without our gambling banks. Go for real new money, and the full which is interest-free, and the full Irish people's democracy. So IMF off, Najee and Co. As for that matter of the World Cup, sure, it's only a game. So come on, cheer up. Nobody died, not even George, of a heart attack. And Brent Pope praised the team, and the fans had the crack. And remember, we're the 99%, and definitely not fucked.
Is Mary ready? representing Munster in the All Ireland Slam Championships.
This is called presidential material. As they rush to the Auras, no matter who wins, Mike Murphy has called them the seven deadly sins. Two gays, one called Mitchell, but Norris the other withdrew when he came on a small spot of bother. The noted professor of joystring fame had just too many letters after his name. Undaunted, he fought and re-entered the race, but must watch Michael Tweed, who might snap up his place. At 78, Tweed D from the West, with the help of those transfers, might come out the best. Martin McGuinness has caused us some doubt. With Paisley, he shuffled and then headed south. The Armalite's buried, the ballot box rules. Will refusing his pay make the others look fools? The two independents, that's Mary and Sean, are at pains to reveal every cent that they earn. That just leaves Donna, who's been here before. Her strong constitution may cause a furore. If Donna, or Donna, that is bold at a stroke, and pulled out of Europe, we'd really be broke. Seven dwarves will be working by going door to door. They each have a name, but we give them one more. There's Marty and Artie, Baldy and Beardy. Then we have Mitchell, a bit of a weirdie. Mary Davis and Donna might vie for Snow White. Those two might be better to stay out of sight. With Ireland in debt for the next 7 years, the office of president could end in tears.
Your pale fingers through the bone, like a young girl to a springtime pond, scattered goldfish perhaps, or her reflection.
Special offers, no behaviour, grumpy fuckers behind post office counter, incessant moaning on morning radio, conservative culture consuming the masses, half going folk reimbursement church, civil partnership sites to shut up, special needs aren't special enough, then tough gets going, going gets tough. Don't eat bananas to get full of fat, give up smoking and chewing a cigarette, measure your weight by an exercise that don't sweat, do down the first one to get the shock, push the top ones back in, your body's a temple owned by the IMF. Just put up and shut up, switch on your TV, pay your license, buy the product, recycle the packaging, look into my eyes, look into my eyes, follow the Ten Commandments, which being free to judge others, to get over God's own breastfeed and groom the souls who do, blame single mothers who think it hands me wearing kids, abolish the Irish language because it's not profitable. Elect Sean Gallagher, he sort out this mess. The world is your economy, buy and sell babies, help eliminate instincts in humankind, obey authority, as the guard he will rape you if they can get it up. Go to nightclubs and drink too much. Don't tolerate teenagers lodging in public. Tell skateboarders to go home and play computer games. Buy Apple to be and buy laptops from Apple. Don't admit you like Oprah. Watch those porn every time a woman masturbates the kids' eyes. Look normal, act normal, be normal. Pray to God that your kids are normal. If you don't know what normal is, you're fucked. Apply for a job, but don't expect to respond. They're just too busy. This is okay. I repeat, obey authority. Why? Because I told you so.
Is anybody going to write a poem in favour of the IMF? You know, just for a change. Give it a go. Try it. That's your homework for next week. You know, say so maybe they're, you know, they're doing something right. Daddy and Sweeney.
This is about being controlled and being in love with the culture. It's called Replica Jersey. Preparing for bed, you dwarf yourself in man-sized red hand colours. For a rebel, you wear them well. When I see you in that shirt, I know what advantage it has. Every thud and we've won nothing yet, and townland name to a TV set resounds. Spilt sips of celebration stout, and puke football kingdom grapes have resisted years of wash. This shirt knows that two is not enough, and tribal pride keeps us tethered from growing into exile. And you, in the middle of it all, with me stitched all around you, crawl under covers, more part of everything than ever.
Season of sowing now, and though my soul is stretched at its seams, having weaned itself off love longs, it seems free the moments when a man can move earth and the dirt that it is, the ripping, conceiving, the leaping to come. This one is called I Wish I Were Not the Moon as Much as I Am. If you keep looking at yourself within the same reflective surfaces, you will always see the same things. Try the sea, or a river, or a lake, or someone who loves you or could, or a puddle, or a car window, or a child's eye or mind, or the moon, or a drink and then take one, ward off Satori, console yourself with blood, throw down another, make shelters from your mud, flick the switch for 3 full days as if a blown bulb were reversible, deny your beauty, give away the only thing that you ever really owned, maybe knowing that they won't be done with that, the control of you. They'll want your soul out too, and one day they may get it. And the shame of it might kill you, but you won't let it, or you'll hide it all away. And you'll walk the earth smiling, saying, good or lovely morning, and have a great delay without intending to, and don't you know, and at the end of what you've told them, and you hope to God they don't. All the while sustained, like some great heaving ocean, by the life of an emotion, to fill in again, the hole within a hand or man. And you'll only ever feel it when you long for it alone, and even when you're not. And you'll make the others wonder, and they'll pass remarks upon it, that old familiar glimmer of what they can't remember. And they'll see the stillest light right as you bow to claim it, and reflect it to the world, and you'll have fooled them all again, like the moon and the sun's stolen silver soul that it projects.
Kieran, Thomas, Mark. Mark?
Is it
Mark?
This is a sonnet called Who Wrote This? There was a play once that said all men were equal, but the director forgot, and so they made a sequel. It spoke about goodness in these life and times, And then there was an awkward pause when the actor forgot his lines. The shave there was enraged on the premise someone else was to blame. And all the freedom fighters began to wonder where they came. He called up his agent and said, "This can't be right. Doesn't the script say that they love me on opening night?" All the loud men left the theatre thoroughly unimpressed. And all the housewives agreed that life had lost its zest. The band led us on in the language of song. The children stared at the abyss. "Daddy, who wrote this?" The old man was right when he said it was going to rain. One morning walk down to the club. The sun shone but didn't warm. Instead gave a choking, clutching heat of indulgence. With vision clouded with wonder, he carried on, saluting those passers-by with every fibre of exuberance you'd expect from you. The faces passed, dumb and nameless, until one spoke. One with years etched on his face, a whisper in his voice and wisdom in his eye. "How do you do?" exclaimed his mouth. With the friendliness of a happier soul, but how to know? And then, as though some custom reaction took hold, you added a meaningless word on the weather. "Nice day," you said. Though your brain was filled with other things, less trivial and less important than respect, more natural than clouds. The meadow how it rolled, the streets how they hung, the walls and buildings lost in pride. At once he re-entered this mortality. "It's going to rain," the old man said. And then did life take hold? For no calendar, nor clock, droning voice, nor ringing bell could awaken you into the beginning. The beginning of nothing and the end of nothing else. Almost the same, but less innocent. Remember how the smiling autumn said, "Wish the best in life, and may things always go your way." But what was, or is, or will be my way? These future reflections have been omitted from a constant and unbecoming longing for more, a crave more than a need. But the more want, the more need. Perchance they were led by the crippling dismissiveness of youth. And this journey's end may now be labelled astray. For what go now? For led is entirely the wrong word. Perhaps we are not being led by an omniscient and all-seeing being whom we fail to acknowledge when the blindness of perceived joy sets in. And forget not, when blind, forever dark. Noticeably how we fail to burden with our griefs this being. When it fails to clear the fog from our brains and hope in our hearts. But this may not be. For led is entirely the wrong word. This marvelous kingdom of astray, how has it been reached? It's been reached, for nothing is untangible for our long, grasping fingers, nor can our spider-like claws be stopped. We couldn't say led, but driven. Driven by a force quicker than death, blinder than youth, and more absolute than chance. Astray has been reached by our unquenchable thirst for something else. And the old man was right when he said it was going to rain.
Sherry by the sea. From the jewel of West Cork faces, I send greetings warm to thee. I arrived here on a camel. His name, for short, is Russ. even though I now have the free travel, and I could have come on bus. Russ and I arrived at Parliament Place to board a bus for Courtmatch. The staff there were extremely courteous, but were taken a little back. Even though they had no problem with my using my group pass, they did not think that a camel travel was really quite great gas. I pleaded with the driver, and he deeply did regret. But Boscarum's rules and bylaws, since their inception, have never yet allowed for a camel to travel on any of their fine feet. So he suggested that I travel to Cormac on Russ's four fine feet. I tossed the walk a bit long for Russ, so to the inspector I did appeal. I even offered to help the driver by taking the steering wheel. "Please, Mr. Inspector," I politely said, "why is there so much fuss in I bringing Russ my camel to put my sherry on your bus?" The inspector most politely said, they could not accede to my request. So I thanked him most profoundly and left the matter west. I then headed west in the direction of Cormac. My seventh and Russell Campbell, which me hung on his back. Out past the Chetwin Viaduct, Russ and I did travel along. Russ made his candle noises, and I sang a cheerful song. We passed by Ballinhassig, and were glad it was so soon, but we must reach Cormacsherry before the rising of the moon. On passing through Inishannon, Russ at first got a little fright, as the street was lined with people who were amused at an unusual sight of a camel walking through their village, with myself upon his back, with my 40 bags of luggage, heading west to Sue's Cormac. As we went through the town of Banton, the interest was the same. There were banners draped across the street, which displayed Russ's name. At last we passed through Timoree, with only 2 or 3 miles to go, before reaching Sweet Cormac Sherry in the parish of Ballymore. So thank you for your company, as Russ and I traveled along. It helped to shorten the journey as we sang that little song. We look forward to a fantastic scene in beautiful Cormac. We appreciate your pleasant company, and thanks for joining in the crack. On my next trip down there, I think I'll take a car, as the 30 miles of walking for follows was a little far. I am glad for to be back here, in this place I like to be. Greetings to you, and to all yours, from Cormac Sherry, Edison.
Well done, John. There's two more under this, and you should have been in at number 5, but we just skip this. But Brian, I don't know.
This one's called Siesta. Between sleep and wakefulness, in the mid-afternoon heat of Andalusia, I overhear a muffled argument in the courtyard 4 floors below a rooftop studio. The old couple on the ground floor is daily performance. It ends abruptly with the slamming of a shutter and sending 4 or 5 red-billed green African parrots skittering noisily from their perch on a rooftop terrace to a roof opposite, where they settle on hanging baskets of yellow, pink, white and red flowers. All is still again. Smiling to myself, I stretch lazily, feeling you beside me asleep. I trace a line with my index finger from your shoulder to your brow and gently brush my lips on your dark lashed eyes. You half smile in your slumber and move closer to me. Through the open door of battle, the black baking rooftop, through half closed eyes I vaguely make out our beach towels on a line, pale green and bright orange, in contrast against an opalesque cloudless sky. Moving gently in a hardly noticeable breeze, a cool fresh wind from the Atlantic called a caliente. An aroma of Spanish omelette wafts in from somewhere near and makes me lick my lips, thinking of dinner later with you, sitting out underneath the stars. The old city of Cadiz sparkling below us, distant music drifting on the air, practicing bands for the famous Easter festival next March. The dreamlike magical silence was broken by the bell of the great Aurora Cathedral, its domes golden now in this intense sunlight of the coast of light, plus the Villa Luz. 4 p.m. and you begin to stir. Thank you.
Years since Fan O'Brien was born, and it's nice to hear Tom talking about the bikes and things. My man opened his bike shop in 1945 in South Paris, and we used to import bikes from all over the world. And you mentioned the saddle that was used to go on the crossbar. The name of the people who used to make those saddles were A.D. and Nephew was named the company, and not probably because it was such an odd name, A.D. and Nephew. There was another company called Captainship Nephew, which came from that. I wrote a couple of letters to the government in the past few weeks about the lady who was in jail for not allowing ESP to come in upon her trees. And I got a one-liner from Adam Chatter saying, from the secretary saying, I passed the letter on to him. I got another one-liner from Bill Hogan, secretary, saying, I passed your letter on. Anyway, that's all I expected. This is called The All Forgiving Wood. I've read it before, so I'm here. If trees are beans, why do we kill them? We make a point and sit them, take advantage of their silence, admire them almost like a woman, plant them, paint them, pray to them, take shelter in their bosoms, talk to them, even though they exasperate us with their indifference. Each tree holds a ripe fruit, a time-locked secret, and while generous with their blessings, they would not answer. Neither would they tell us anything. Like the clouds, they hold authority, and still we kill them. We listen to the music of their leaves, even when the wind is only whispering, and know that God is talking to us. And when one dies of old age, it will keep us warm. And still we kill trees, so that books may be written about them. He who dishonors the oak, that mighty king shall fall, and his ashes, that great misnomer, be scattered in a glorious, eternal, all-forgiving wood. Thanks.